This is the Spirit and Truth radio broadcast. Tape recording to be played July the 14th, 1990. Title is The Way of a Transgressor. Hello, friends. This is Brother David. I'm going to do something out of the ordinary today. I'm going to start the program today by asking a question to the Christians out there. And my question is, how long did it take the children of Israel to reach the promised land after Moses led them out of bondage in Egypt? Now, another little figure has probably popped in your head just now, but I'm not going to reveal the answer until the end, near the end of the broadcast today. Now, today the Lord has led me to preach on the way of a transgressor. And Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of a transgressor is hard." A transgressor's way is hard, the Bible says, and Jesus said that if you try and work and learn of me, Jesus said, if you learn about Jesus and you try to do the things that Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus said, if you take my yoke upon you, Jesus said, and learn of me, then your way will be easy. Your yoke is easy, your burden will be light. And in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, says, "The way of a transgressor is hard." Now, that's the first thing that I want to establish today, and really it'll be the last concluding point that I make, is that if you try and follow after the word of the Lord, and you try your best to do what the Lord says, that your life will be easy, your way will be easy. Now, of course, there'll be stumbling blocks along the way, and there'll be hills and valleys, but in general, your life will be easier than the way of a transgressor because the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. The example that I'm going to give today comes from Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And if you'll turn to chapter 13, verse 1, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, we'll begin reading. Now here, so we won't get mixed up with the question I asked a few moments ago about how long it took Moses and the children of Israel to reach Egypt. I'm going to say that here in Numbers chapter 13, Moses and the children of Israel have already reached the border of Canaan, and they're at the edge of the promised land. And in verse 1, there in chapter 13, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Now, God commanded Moses to tell the children of Israel to pick 12 men to go over into the land of Canaan and spy out the land, find out if it's a land flowing with milk and honey, to find out what kind of a place it was that God had chosen for them to live. And the Bible says that they searched the land out there in the rest of chapter 13. The Bible says that they searched the land out and they brought back figs and pomegranates and a cluster of grapes that it took 2 men to carry. And the Lord had done told the children of Israel that he was going to lead them into a promised land flowing with milk and honey. It was going to be a great land. It was going to be a fruitful land where they could live and where they could, you know, have a wonderful life. God was going to make it good for his chosen people. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 25, says, "They returned from searching the land after 40 days. The children, those 12 men that were chosen went into the land of Canaan and were in there 40 days finding out how good the land was that God had sent them to. Now, in verse 26, "They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land." Even like this great cluster of grapes, it was just a symbol of how rich and how fruitful the land was. Now, verse 27, "They told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." They didn't deny that it was a good land. All the 12 people, all the 12 spies that went over said it was a wonderful land, flowing with milk and honey. It was just as God had told them. But in verse 28, they began to have a little bit of doubt. They said, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Now, the children of Anak were famed for being giants and for being great men. Verse 29, "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan." My friend, they were getting scared. They were flat getting scared. And now that one, talking about the 12 spies, they came back and were giving what's come to be known as an evil report. But now Caleb, he realized that the land was good, and he realized that God had told them that they would be able to defeat these people. And Caleb said in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." My friend, Caleb believed God. He believed in what the Bible, well, of course they didn't have the Bible then. He believed what the Lord had said. He believed that they would be able to take the land, and he says, "For we are well able to overcome it." My friend, if God is on your side, no matter what problem you have, you are well able to overcome it. But in verse 31, everybody else doubted. But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." My friend, they were getting really scared at this point because they did not want to go in there and take on these giants. In verse 32, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." My friend, these children of Anak that were so great, they had such a great reputation for being giants, that when they went over there and they saw these Anakites, that they were just like, the children of Israel were just like grasshoppers in their sight. They were that great of size, and they could probably bear such great weapons that these spies were in terror. Except for the two, except for Caleb and another one, Joshua, which he gained a little bit favor in the sight of God as well. But the evil report that everybody else was giving was just scaring the people to death. And in chapter 14, verse 1, "The congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept all night." People wept that night. "And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness.'" My friend, they were so scared that they just wished that they had died in Egypt, or they had wished that they had died on their way to where they were. They did not want to see the day coming. And they were ready, there in the rest of that chapter, in chapter 14, my friend, they were ready to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. They were ready to stone them because they did not want to go in and try and take that land. But in Numbers chapter 14, verse 10, "All the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed unto them?'" My friend, God was getting a little mad at the children of Israel, and I shouldn't really say little, because he was ready to kill them, and we'll read that in just a second. But the thing about it was, is that God had shown them such great miracles. When he brought them out of the land of Egypt, he sent plagues against Egypt so the Pharaoh would let the children of Israel go. I mean, he even went so far as to kill the firstborn child of every Egyptian family. When the Egyptians were chasing them across the desert, God parted the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could cross. When they got to the other side, he killed the Egyptian soldiers. He had done so many great miracles, and still the people would not believe. And what was God going to do? In verse 12, he said, "I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation mightier than they." God was telling Moses, he says, he had made a contract. He had made with Abraham. He said he would make his seed a great nation. And here he's offering Moses, he said, "I'll kill them all. And just from your own seed, make you a great nation." God was ready to start all over. And if it hadn't been for Moses getting on his knees and praying, my friend, those children of Israel would have been completely wiped out. And in verse 19, Moses has just begged God to forgive the people, and God does not destroy them. Verse 19, "Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." And the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to thy word." My friend, prayer changes things. But in verse 21, "As truly as I live," God says, "all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these three times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." My friend, God has gotten so mad at them that he has decided not to let this group of the children of Israel enter into the promised land. He's not going to let them in. And in verse 25, God tells Moses, he said, "Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And in verse 33, "And your children," God says, "your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." Now remember our question at the beginning of the sermon today? I asked how long it had taken the children of Israel to reach the promised land after Moses led them out of the bondage. Remember that question? Well, my friend, they're here. They're already at the promised land. God, through his cloud during the day and his pillar of fire at night, has led the children of Israel across in under, well, actually, it's just over a year. And I have the scripture verses where, let's see, it's Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2 says that Israel left Egypt, and it took them 3 months to get to the Mount Sinai, where God gave them the Ten Commandments. Numbers 9, chapter 9, verse 1 and 15 talks about how the children of Israel left Sinai during the first month of their second year, and they were guided by the cloud by day and the pillar by night. And if you look at Numbers 12 and 16 and Numbers 33 and 15 through 18, you can see that they only made two stops from the Mount Sinai until they reached the promised land. My friend, it didn't take them very long to get where they were going. But because they disbelieved God, because they thought God couldn't do what he was going to do, because they thought that they would be destroyed, because they saw the glory of God and his miracles, and still they decided that God couldn't handle the problem, my friend, they were a transgressor, and God made their way hard. Proverbs 13:15, "The way of the transgressors is hard." And in verse 34, "After the number of days in which ye search the land," even 40 days, "each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise," or as the translator's note says, "my altering of my purpose." God altered his purpose so that he could prove the point to the children of Israel. He wanted to prove the point, essentially, that the way of the transgressor is hard. If they had only followed his voice, if they had only done what he had wanted them to, my friend, they would have made it across the wilderness in 2 years. Now it's time for me to go. I need to make a few announcements. Now you're invited to come to the Free Pentecostal Church, where Arthur York Jr. is the pastor. The church is located near downtown Harriman on the hill behind the Robo Car Wash. The regular services are Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Now, before I go, let me remind you, just as I do each and every week, keep in mind John chapter 4, verse 24, which says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."